You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. On this episode of AW360, I speak with Dave Snyder, partner and head of design at Siberia. Dave and I discuss the role of AI in design, how technology continues to play a role in creativity, and the importance real life plays in inspiration. We hope you enjoy this episode. Dave Snyder, welcome to the AW360 podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Howdy, how are you?
I am well. Your partner and head of design at Siberia. Tell us a little bit about Siberia and your role there.
The title is a bit self-descriptive as the head of design, but that gets into a lot of strategy work as well. And I would say you could put a lens on design and it's going to be more towards brand and how that meets product. And what Siberia does is sort of that. That product thinking. We do a lot of product, a lot of engineering type work, but sort of wrapped in this pseudo consultancy. We're small, we're back to being independent, which is really exciting. And that's what sort of propped me back into the agency game after doing a walkabout for about 4 years on the client side, Twitter, place called Slice. And yeah, we try to make cool stuff with cool people, or as I like to say, rad work with rad people.
I respect that. I respect the use of the word rad across the board.
Important word.
It is. And it feels like it sort of lost its luster somewhere along the way. Like it just kind of fell out of favor. I love bringing the word rad back. I think more people should be using it.
I take it as because we're old. So,
you know, it's an audio only podcast. You didn't have to go there.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
I mean, not that I want to hide it, but.
No, well, we're well Botoxed, so people. If there's no video, yeah, we're well Botoxed. We're very young looking for 75 years.
Yeah, this is true, definitely. So, thinking in terms of design, which you do all the time, and where we are in 2024 and soon to be 2025, how has the industry evolved in its use of design and creativity, especially in this crazy AI world that we find ourselves in right now, in your opinion?
I would say that what I'm seeing is that there's sort of a return to craft versus just people management. And I'm thinking through the lens of what it means to be a director or whatever we're calling management today in design. And I think with the, let's call it ZERP or the zero interest rate phenomena era that we lived in, things ballooned to staff towards their valuation and maybe not what's required to do great work and be closely connected to the craft. And I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way and things tend to overcorrect a bit. But what I've liked is being able to be a lot more close to the pixels, if you will, and making things again. We get into this space because, you know, if I go back 25 years, you get into this space because you love making shit and doing so in a medium that's new. And at 25 years ago, it was the internet. And I love that I can still make things and not just talk about things. And I think, so I see the pendulum swinging that way. And I think it's important.
Let's talk about the internet just for a moment, because I think one of the things that is interesting to see is the evolution of it. You know, we're a long ways from this place. I always laugh when people say, you know, do you want to see the mobile friendly site? And it's like, well, why do you even have two at this point? But fast forward to today, I kind of wonder if there's not a place where, do you want to see the AI powered site? You know, is that coming? How does AI impact the internet? Are we in an AI first internet yet, or is that coming, or what does that look like to you?
I think we're rapidly approaching it. And like, this is something I try to wrap my head around. And I was just at the SOTA. SOTA is the Society of Digital Agencies, and I was talking with some industry peers about this sort of weird problem that we're touching on here is, what is the purpose of a website anymore, whether it be mobile or desktop? If you query whatever it is you want to query, and then an AI returns you your answer, and you don't have to browse and parse content through some kind of website.com as we've known it. I rarely use Google anymore. Google has been replaced by things like Perplexity, which I think is one of the cooler companies right now, or ChatGPT. I ask a question, I get a response if it feels right, and I can dig into that response if it feels a little weird. Is that really right? Or I can follow up with it, but I get my answer. Perplexity does it a bit different. They're sort of they're doing what Google wants to do, but it feels like the modern day a search engine, but I get my answer and I don't end up on a destination. That is both unnerving as someone who's sort of been part of the internet sort of since it began. And I've built my career around these destinations and products that, you know, let you discover a brand and what they stand for and whatever it is that they serve. So it's being handed over to a third party that is really good at averaging things. I don't know what's happening with the internet, but I think we have to think about it quite differently.
That would seem to be a pretty important distinction for things like information. So if I needed to find out, something about a particular type of plant, let's say tomorrow I decided, I'm going to become a gardener, which I'm not right. going to do, but I just randomly picked that. And I wanted to know things about that. That would be very useful. But let's say from a brand perspective, brands have to be on all manner of platforms. They have to be on, all the social media platforms. They probably have all kinds of things on YouTube. A lot of them are, on broadcast and streaming television. They're everywhere. But they also have that website. But it almost feels like at this point, that website is just kind of that obligatory thing that they've had to do for, the past 30 years now, give or take. But are people really still going to them? Are you going to Coca-Cola.com? And if so, why?
Yeah, I don't know why you would, to be blunt, unless you're looking for very specific, I would say non-consumer type things, or maybe financial, et cetera, things. But I think that can be summed up well with AI. Or you're looking for a really distinct branded experience as it relates to a campaign or some platform that they're trying to create. And that might be the big opportunity space. Maybe we see a return to branded experiences, I'm thinking back to the Flash days, where there was this destination, you have a moment with it and it's a truly unique, but if it's just trying to figure out what the latest press release is or how the earnings report went, there's absolutely zero reason to go to those websites.
Yeah.
You brought up gardening. And I think about eating a lot and cooking a lot. I'm surrounded by a lot of cookbooks. I'm sort of obsessive with that kind of thing. And I don't go to any of those, and I haven't been for many, many years, but any of those cooking sites anymore. A, why would you? They've ruined the experience with ads, should you skip to the recipe and what have you? And it's just I don't need the story, all the tropes around recipe websites. And maybe I was an early adopter with things like ChatGPT, but this goes back a while and it's not just to recipes, but I have a whole cooking chat that I've set up with it. That's just one of the tabs within ChatGPT on my phone where I have conversations about food and what I should do if I'm thinking about a certain recipe and how I might tweak it. And it's, I'm a cook in the sense, I used to work in kitchens, but in the sense that I don't want to follow a recipe. I want to have ideas and, you're tweaking, and I have a conversation with it about what I should do. And I can give it a lens to think through. This ChatGPT aura, right? Where I can talk to me like you're a French chef at, or whatever. You're Anthony Bourdain. You can have this conversation with Anthony Bourdain in that tone about, you know, Frenchy type sauces or whatever it might be. And I, that's where I think things are going to get really different. Like I, so I don't know where to go with this conversation other than the paradigm is shifting. And if you have a website, and this is something we think about a lot of Siberia, is like, I don't know, this might be 5 years out, but what is the point? And if the point is just, we got to put all our information there, then maybe you, that's sort of stupid because it's the bots or AI things are just going to parse that, come up with the solution, and then serve it up in their own way. Gemini is going to do that. That's Google, ChatGPT, Perplexity. Most likely people aren't going to land on your site to then have to parse through it. So then what does your site become? Maybe it should be more of a brand platform, or are brands going to start partnering with certain AI platforms to make unique content around that? Or maybe that's the differentiator from one platform to another. Like this platform is got all the best chefs. Therefore, I only engage with this chefs, these chefs on this platform because they've got a unique thing going on, which gets into this whole other weird idea I have about how giant LLMs are going to differentiate themselves. And they'll have to differentiate themselves with humans. And are they going to pay humans to make their AI thing actually unique?
I want to take a kind of a step sideways here and connect a couple of dots from two things you said. Just a little bit earlier, you were talking about how you rarely ever use Google anymore. Coincidentally, I was talking to my 12-year-old the other day who never uses Google. And I asked her, you know, why is that? She says, well, I never find what I'm looking for. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, I have to, you know, I have to go to like page two, page three before I ever find it. And I said, well, what's on page one? And she says, well, it's just, it's all ads. I said, well, that's how they finance Google. She goes, yeah, but if I just go to ChatGPT, it just gives me the answer.
You're right.
I'm like, okay, well, what happens when advertisers start sponsoring, you know, this ChatGPT response was brought to you by Colgate? You know, I mean, that feels like it's inevitable. And it also then harms the experience because you're not really doing that thing where you're kind of having a one-on-one with, you know, this sort of imaginary human being, you know, in an AI. You're having a one-on-one experience with a sponsored imaginary human being, which is not nearly as personal whatsoever in my assessment. I mean, to me, that just feels like it fully takes that out of what it's intended to do.
Yeah, I think that will kill those platforms.
Really?
I think what's nice about these platforms, ChatGPT, OpenAI, it doesn't matter which one, Perplexity, you're paying this monthly subscription of 25, 30, I don't even know what it is, $30 a month to do it. And so maybe that takes the immediate need to go right into monetization by way of ad dollars out of the equation. I don't think, I hope we can get away from that because it will ruin the experience. Like, I don't want to imagine a world, and I actually wrote about this maybe for Adweek or Advertising Age or one of the things almost like a decade ago, but how terrible would it be is you take a selfie of yourself and there's some maybe Times Square, for lack of a better explanation, is behind you. And the ads are all swapped out, not for what was actually behind you, but the ads were replaced by way of AI with whatever the viewer might want to see. Gross, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But actually very, very plausible, actually possible, not even plausible, very possible. Now, I guess that would be a little bit soft, but like, yeah, you don't want, I don't want Colgate's brought to you by a dental explanation of what might be going on with my mouth. You know, like just give me the answer and do it truthfully. And I hope that answer is actually informed by, you know, doctors.
Let's jump over to creativity for a bit.
Cool.
What types of creative things are you excited by these days? Obviously, a website's a website. It's really hard to get excited by a website. Although I must admit, I still see websites from time to time that I think are pretty cool. You know, Flash and the lack of Flash has kind of removed that interactivity a little bit. We don't strive for that much anymore. We're really into the whole he who has the best video at this point, which to me is a little dull in a way. I mean, video is great, but it's very passive. But there's still some cool stuff out there. what gets you excited on the creativity side? What sorts of things do you see or do you work on, probably more importantly, that you think are, you know, number one, fun to work on, are rewarding to partners, you know, and really, you know, give them good value and are effective?
Yeah, I would say I'm inspired by anyone who can put nice things in the gray boxes that is really a website, right? Does that, I don't know if that makes sense, but like a website is really just, websites haven't changed too much. And yeah, there are the occasional very creative things that are actually derivative of what happened 15 years before, but whatever. And I applaud that kind of interactive creativity, build a career around it. However, now the differentiation between any web presence is what's going to go in the squares and the boxes, and what is there actually tone to the copy? Is it actually saying something interesting? So I do like just, I think it's going to be more about what goes in the squares, what goes in the wireframe versus the wireframe. And I think you're going to see this inversion happen with, you know, just build a, I hate to say it, but just build a Squarespace site. You know, no one's being, you know, and focus on what goes in those box, those generic boxes, right? And I think that whether that's video, photo, or copy. And I would say outside of that, I think what's interesting is this return to, and I don't know if it's nostalgia, because I think the kids, it can't be nostalgia if they never experienced it, but I think this return to analog. And I think that whether that becomes a large movement or not, who knows, but like kids getting into tapes, I was Instagram model type, fancy people like gravitating towards these really shitty old digital cameras, not film cameras, early edition digital cameras that are all pixelated and whatnot. So that's like, that to me is really interesting. There was a release of a brand, I think Collins did it. It's a hedge fund that's not a digital thing anyway, but it's like they launched it in a newsstand with newspapers. And this whole, I think there is this, I don't know, maybe the pendulum always swings back and forth, but I think this return to physical things, I think, is going to continue to play out. And I like that. And I also like just turning off all this crap that we're staring at now, you know, screens and phones. And I'm lucky to have a place out on a beach and I just want to be disconnected.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that the pandemic, and I don't even want to talk about the pandemic, but more the after effects of it, do you think that that altered the course of how we have relationships with digital? Do you think that this rise of analog, and I fully appreciate that. I bought a turntable a year ago in July, so about a year and a half, and like have just dove headfirst in. It's completely changed my relationship with music back to where it was, you know, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sadly, I think I've already accumulated over 700 records, which shows I'm like financially very irresponsible, but also having a great time. So we'll put it there. You know, my happiness, definitely more important here. Do you think that influenced that, you know, maybe we had so much digital because it's all we had. We were communicating digitally only. We were consuming things digitally only. There was no movie theaters. There was no concerts. There was no nothing. We got tired of it, and now we want tangible experiences. We want tangible goods. You know, prior to that, the only analog hints were it became fashionable to have, you know, headphones with cables on them for a while.
Yeah, I think maybe I have a 14-year-old, or he's about to be 14 in a few days, and at the beginning of COVID, and maybe we weren't supposed to be doing this, and I should preface, I'm a skateboarder. He was he stopped skateboarding now, but he was a sponsored skateboarder. And we had our little pod. I think a lot of people had like a pod of people you could actually communicate with physically without the need for masks. Maybe you had masks on, but you were at least outside. This was your crew and you had some rules around and you needed that physical connection. And we would, skateboarding was our outlet. Not at a park, we would travel to like random ditches in Pennsylvania and all these old school skate spots. And we would skateboard and barbecue out there, and it was very, very old school. Well, I would know it as old school, right? And this, and I, and that was this I don't know, I maybe, and so I think through the lens of my 14-year-old, And here's this moment where school's getting disrupted. We have to, it's everything's on a screen, and we're now driving somewhere to go be in a ditch to skateboard and eat burgers and hot dogs on a grill. And we're even though we shouldn't be, we're sort of breaking some rules. We're having this physical moment with each other in a group of people during a time of distress. You know, this is when 1,000 people were 800 people are dying a day in New York City.
Yeah.
And so like maybe there's this like, and then for 2 years of school remote, like, I don't know, whatever that was, like, I have to imagine that's had a marked impact on that generation. So I didn't answer you, but I hope that the future generation is a little bit more balanced. You know, I get nostalgic about the 90s and not having to have everything documented. God forbid there would have been a camera in every room always on you 24/7 when you're going to college. Horrible.
Oh yeah. You know?
And I was a good kid.
yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. It's amazing that anybody gets through it without being suspended constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, in thinking of the things that inspire you creatively, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, a beach house, you mentioned skateboarding. What other things are you involved with on, you know, the personal life side that, you know, inspire you and inform creativity on the professional side?
Honestly, I think it's taking a break from the professional side. It sounds so cliche maybe, but like, but at the same time, I think having on the professional side, being able to get back close to the work and be in the pixels and work on components in Figma and explore things like Midjourney to figure out what should go in the box and practice your art direction. Art direction might actually become a term we use again because of things like AI. That inspires me, but I need that break more, you know, at almost 48. Like, I need the break away from the screen to, I don't know, recharge, whatever it is. Being out away from the city has been helpful. We modulate between the city and out of this place called Oak Beach, New York. And I like that kind of separation.
And looking ahead, I like to end these conversations with, I call it the crystal ball question. There's no points either direction. You're not, you know, there's no prize if you're right. Where do you see us in 5 years in terms of just as an industry? Do you think there's any challenges ahead or any opportunities ahead in terms of what we might see? So, you know, thinking of the past 10 years, you know, I always look at things like, you know, hey, 5G was going to revolutionize my life. Yeah. It hasn't. I rarely even have a 5G signal. AI was going to revolutionize my life. The jury's still out on that. I think it's really going to enhance it, revolutionize. I'm not so sure yet, but we'll see. Is there anything you see or are looking at that may be that thing? You know, I know for me, it definitely wasn't VR. I get sick every time I put on a headset.
Yeah, no, VR is in its 15th attempt is not going to be it. Until it's plugged into our brains, it's not going to be a thing. And then it becomes a terrifying thing. But that's not the prediction I want to give. I would say, I think most of it's going to be an opportunity. If you look at it through the lens of an agency or a small studio, consultancy, whatever, I'm hoping we can do a lot more with a lot less people. And that sounds terrible. I'm not trying to cut out people, but at the end of the day, and as sad as the statement is, agency game is about managing margins. And so if I don't need a full staff of insert profession, I think that's an opportunity, although I hate saying it because it's sort of gross and other people will be impacted by it. But like, that's a business reality that I think is in our future. That said, I think you're going to see, and you alluded to this as we started the podcast around the genericism of people using things like ChatGPT to write their viewpoints, you're going to see a dramatic increase in average. Like, people putting out what seems like a compelling idea, but actually you're realizing average is just getting better and everyone's just being generic. And so there will always be a layer of people who aren't afraid of voicing their own opinion or putting their own spin on things. And I think that's going to be important in the future.
If someone wanted to find out more about you or Siberia, where would they go?
You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it nowadays.
Dave, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today. This was very enjoyable.
All right. Cheers. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.